Such a joy to be able to share the word of God with you. Catalyst, as I was looking at some of your faces through the Zoom, it's just so good to see you with the Lord, engaging him and worshiping him and being the family of God. So thank you, Pastor Sam, for giving me this opportunity to be part of your worship and to be able to share the word of God. So let me pray for us and let's get started. Father God, we come before you this morning. And Lord, you are so good. In the midst of all that is going on, your love is constant and your presence is near. And so Lord, we draw near to you and we want to truly engage you this morning. Lord, would you take a hold of our hearts and breathe life, breathe joy, breathe peace into our hearts. Father, we submit to you. We give you all the glory, all the honor. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The text that I have chosen for today is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Says, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn babes, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And, you know, we're all tired. We're all tired of hearing about the ongoing pandemic, that it does not seem to relent. I heard that tonight NYC is going to shut down all the indoor dining for the restaurants, and which, by the way, I don't think it's that smart. I think indoor dining right now is safer than outdoor dining, because when you go inside the restaurant, because of limited 25% capacity and people don't want to go in there, there's only like one or two people eating there, very safe, very spacious. Whereas outdoor dining, you know, they got you all wrapped up in the tiny space and tables are cluttered together, and I don't see how that's safe. But anyway, you know, things are continuously looking difficult. And even as we look forward to 2021, we're asking ourselves, what is going to bring us a reprieve or a time of refreshing? What is going to renew our hearts and renew our joy? And this morning, I want to talk to you about craving the spiritual milk. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter talks about the trials which bring us great joy. As you know, that Peter was talking to the diaspora, right? Church that was scattered because of the persecution. And we know that the persecution was great. People were being martyred, being fed to the animals, being kicked out of their homes, and everything they owned was being taken away. It was a tremendous tribulation, but Peter calls it a trial that will make you filled with joy because of what the Lord will do and accomplish through this trial. And so after talking about that in chapter 2, Peter is starting to share with us, how then shall we live? If we know that this trial is going to make us stronger, make us more mature, make us more intimate with our Lord Jesus Christ, what are some things that we need to do? And Peter says, well, first of all, you need to put away all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and all slander. And the reason Peter talks about that is because that is the default of our heart. When we are stressed, when we are weary, when we are facing pain and difficulty, it is so natural for us to go into this mode of blaming, of self-pitying and commiserating and saying, woe is me. How often do we find ourselves saying to ourselves, proclaiming all these negative prophecies right? And young people have this saying like FML and this and that, and you know, my life is ruined and I'll never be anything. And that is exactly the opposite of what God wants us to do. When we are facing despair, when we are facing struggle, when we are facing great hardship, it is so easy for us to fall into this default mode of blaming, self-pitying, and self-medicating. As we know that right now, our society, in the history of all of mankind, we are most addicted, we are most self-medicating society of all time. And you know, when we talk about self-medicating, whether it's through drugs or alcohol or porn or whatever vices that we look to bring us some kind of distraction or relief, we realize this is not good. We realize this is not healthy because we start out choosing to do those things, thinking that that will help us. But then before long, we realize we're addicted and we are doing those things even as we don't want to do it. Even as we struggle not to do it, we find ourselves being part of it. And you know, that is the very sign of addiction. And so we come to and we make a commitment, we draw the line in the sand and we say, okay, I will not do this because this is hurting me, this is hurting the ones I love, it's hurting my family, I will not do it. And you try to walk away and you try not to be part of that destructive behavior, but there are times when we relapse, when we go back, as the dog goes back to its vomit, we go back to the very thing which brought us so much more pain and shame. And as they talk about this, like, what are some signs? You know, what are some signs that we can kind of be mindful of? And how does this relapse happen? And they say, well, it happens usually in stages, right? It starts with the relapse of your emotions, and then it goes to your mental state, and then it goes finally to your physical state, meaning that when things get rough and things get difficult, and you know, as we're experiencing this Zoom fatigue and you're missing people, you feel alone and you're disconnected from all the people you love, you feel the pang in your emotion. Like, I am lonely. I don't feel loved. I don't feel invited. I don't feel included. And you feel this pain, and that's where it starts. And as your emotions are running wild and you're struggling to contain this emotion, the temptation then is for you to bring that into your mental capacity where you say to yourself, this is true. What I'm feeling emotionally is actually true. That I am not loved, that I am not needed, that I am not important, that there is no future for me, there is no way out, there is no hope for me. And as the enemy continues to whisper these lies of damnation into you, you start to agree, like, that's right. Nobody appreciates me. Nobody will care if I disappear. Nobody's going to give me a hand. Whatever is I've been working on, it's not gonna work out. There's no hope. And so you start spiraling down from your emotional relapse into your mental relapse, and then finally, physical relapse happens. And you reach for that very thing you vowed never to touch, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's being verbally and physically abusive to the people around you, or where you're doing physical harm to yourself, whatever it is, you go down to that physical level of relapse. When we feel broken, when we feel hopeless, when we feel scared, our immediate instinctive response is to self-medicate. And even if we're not dealing with these addictive behaviors, our efforts to self-medicate comes out and manifests itself in the form of malice, in the form of deceit, in the form of hypocrisy and envy and slander. You lie and say, I am fine. I'm not lonely. I don't need help. I am not bitter. Or you start to blame. It's all your fault. It's what you said to me. It's what you did to me. It's what you didn't give me. The church is my problem. The government is my problem. My boss is my problem. It's their fault. We blame people. We accuse people. And we become jealous and envious of those around us. And we start to self-pity and we say, woe is me. There's no one to understand me. There's no one to love me. There's no one to care about me. In Alcoholics Anonymous, when they talk about, you know, signs for relapse, they turn it into an acronym, H-A-L-T, HALT, you know, which, you know, if you know German, it means stop, right? So, you know, when they want to stop somebody, they're like, halten Sie bitte, right? Like they say halt. And H stands for hunger. A stands for anger. L stands for loneliness. T stands for tired. And so when you are hungry, angry, lonely, and tired, these are the moments you're really weak. You're emotionally feeling things. You are mentally trying to agree with your emotions. And then pretty soon that's going to lead you to the place of physically self-medicating. And Paul said, Apostle Peter says, don't do that. Don't agree with the lies. You're not to be dictated by your emotions, but you're to command your emotion. David said, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? David was saying, oh my soul, you're so downcast. So let me agree with you mentally and let me agree that I'm you know, abandoned and I'm not loved and God has forgotten about me. No, David dictates and he commands and he says, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? Why are you feeling this way? Put your hope in God. Rejoice in the Lord. We are a spiritual being and God has given us this authority to command our hearts to respond to the Lord and put our hope and trust in him. And so Peter says, instead of going to your default mode of blaming people and accusing people and really putting yourself down, let's do something else. And what is that something else? He says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And you and I have tasted that the Lord is good. We have encountered our Lord Jesus Christ. We have an experience with our Lord Jesus where he came to us when we were broken, when we were lost, when we were confused and filled with despair. He drew near to us. And it wasn't some great feat of faith or submission that he saw in us that attracted him to us. But no, when we were completely broken, when we were actively rebelling against him, he drew near to us and he demonstrated his love to us by going to the cross for us. And that's what this Christmas is all about. Even as we're going through the season of Advent, we are saying, Lord Jesus, you came to us. And just like you did 2,000 years ago, we know that you will come back for us. And we wait. We wait eagerly. We wait sincerely because we believe in your faithfulness. And so instead of complaining, instead of condemning, instead of being in the state of despair, we want to crave spiritual milk. We want to draw near to God and allow God to speak and proclaim truth over us. We want the Word of God, the infallible, never changing, anchoring the Word of God to truly bring stability and hope and strength as we go through this very difficult and painful season of our lives. Precious, beloved people of Catalyst, God loves you so much. And God demonstrated this love by sending his son, Jesus Christ. And this is what we're celebrating. This is what we're eagerly awaiting. It's not that shiny box under the Christmas tree we're waiting for. It's not to see if Santa has indeed come down the chimney and has taken a bite of your cookie. What we're waiting for is fulfillment of the covenant that we have through Jesus Christ, and that God will fully accomplish the work of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says it like this. He says, when you crave spiritual milk, by it you may grow up into salvation. Verse 4, he says, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like a living stone, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So Jesus, who was rejected, they said, you're not our Messiah. We don't want you to be our Messiah. We want our Messiah to overthrow the Roman government. But you are a Messiah of peace, and we don't want it. They rejected him. The religious rulers put him on the cross. But the stone, very stone that the builders rejected, became the living stone, and he became the cornerstone. And like him, each and every one of us, we have felt the pain of being rejected. We have felt the pain of not belonging. We have felt the pain of failure, disappointing someone. But God chose us, and he imputed us the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is bringing us together to be built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood. And we ourselves are like the living stone, and we're growing in the Lord together. And what we do together, how we worship the Lord, how we serve him, how we live for him, and how we delight in him, we are offering to God a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says this, teach and urge these things. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and are deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain, right? This is pretty much the same thing Peter is saying. Always engaged in quarrels and controversies and accusations and condemnations, and this is not godliness. Verse 6, but the godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Right? When we get greedy, when we start to obey the desires of our own flesh and we submit our will under the desires of our flesh, then we end up piercing ourselves with many pangs, all kinds of disappointments, all kinds of hurts and wounds. But when you recognize that, wow, I was condemned to die as a result of my sin, but in His infinite grace and mercy, God has chosen me to be forgiven and to be saved and to become His child and to be with Him forever. And we recognize that every moment of our lives, we can spend thanking God and worshiping God and living for Him and living for His purpose. Our hearts will be filled with such joy, such satisfaction. The shalom, Hebrew word shalom, it literally means a state where there is no lack. And for us, the word shalom, it doesn't mean that there is no war, there's no strife, but where there was no intimacy, where there was no forgiveness, where there was no reconciliation with our Heavenly Father, now there are no such lack because God has forgiven us, for God has reconciled us to Him, for God has drew us near to Him, and there is intimacy, and that is the shalom that we enjoy in Him. And so how do we then go after the spiritual milk? You go after it with all your heart, because God is truly after our own hearts. And whatever we give Him, it doesn't matter what shape or what form or how much it costs. What God is interested in, just like that widow's two coins, is our heart behind it. Deuteronomy 4:29, it says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul." See, all God desires for us is to truly believe and truly desire. He says, if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul, you will find Him. 1 Chronicles 28:9, he says, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve Him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will cast you off forever." Right? Bible tells us very clearly that He searches and He knows and understands all the intent of your heart. And if you search Him with all your heart, He will be found. Meaning, are you trying to use Him? Are you trying to get something out of this relationship? A better paying position, or, you know, better health, or getting rid of a certain problem? Are you merely trying to use God? God will see right through that. But He says, if you truly desire Him, long for Him, truly wanting to become so intimate and so genuinely in love with Him, Bible says He will be found. James 4:8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. And I know that we've gone through so much, right? Starting last March, we've gone through so much, and we've suffered physically, emotionally, spiritually, socially, financially, and we've gone through so many different things. Some of us lost our loved ones, and it's been painful. I was stricken with COVID. And during the 3.5 weeks of suffering, I thought to myself, wow, this pain I never felt before in my life, I really wouldn't wish it upon my worst enemy, because it was just so horrible. And today, you know, I'm fine. I don't have any long-lasting effects either. And I just thank God that I was able to come out of it. I gave it to my wife. I probably gave it to my children. But even as we were going through that, and even as we were suffering, I remember just willfully and commanding my spirit to say, you thank God and you hang on to God. There'll be nights where I'll be up 2 a.m. in the morning, wide awake because of so much pain. My body, my headache, it was just excruciating pain. And I couldn't smell anything. I couldn't taste anything. You know, I was always nauseous. I could barely drink water. And I would say, God, you're my only hope. You're my only source of strength. I need you. I just need you. You know, and experiencing the peace of God just surrounding me. It's not that my physical body felt better. No, I was still in pain. I was still suffering. My throbbing headache wouldn't go away and being nauseous and all that was still there. But as I willfully clung to God, God would just fill me with this peace. Because there were nights, to be honest, I would sit up from my bed because of the pain and think to myself, is this how I'm going to die? Is this how I'm going to die and leave my wife as a widow and my boys as fatherless? And this fear would grip my heart. And I would pray, God, don't kill me. Don't take me right now. Yet the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, would just flood my heart. Brothers and sisters, I know that you're going through a lot. Some of you probably suffered more dearly than I have. Some of you probably lost so much more than I have. But I only have these words for you, in that God cares for you deeply. And even right now, he wants to draw you even closer to his heart and embrace you with his love, speak over you the living hope that we can have in Jesus Christ. Where is our hope? Is our hope in the vaccine? Are we completely sure that this vaccine would return us to our normal way of life? At the end of the day, I believe that our only hope, and this is a living hope, is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. To crave spiritual milk, it means that we take the Word of God as our source of nourishment and source of truth and strength, and never stop. To crave pure spiritual milk, it means that we crave God's leading and guidance. We're not saying, God, can you be quiet because I want to do my own thing. But we're saying, Lord, I am quiet, I am silent because I want you to lead me. I want you to lead my family. I want you to be the Lord of my life. To crave pure spiritual milk means that the Word of God truly becomes that solid foundation. It's not your finances. It's not your health. It's not your drive. It's not your intellect. But pure spiritual milk means that the Word of God, the living God, as he speaks to you, is our solid foundation, and we will not be shaken as we cling to him. So this morning, I really want to ask if we can pray. And if you kind of study yourself, I think you can clearly see what is your go-to pattern is when you get a parking ticket, or you know, when you drop your cup and break it, or when something unexpected happened. Do you choose to blame somebody? Oh, that silly cop, or oh, I am so angry, I am so disappointed. Or do you pause and contemplate so that you can honestly say, I know that this is hard and this is painful, but I believe that God is with me and I can learn from this, and God still gives me hope through these difficult and painful situations. If you consistently find yourself grumbling, complaining, condemning, why don't you take a moment to repent and say, God, I've been self-medicating. I've been allowing my flesh to dictate how I respond to things. I've been responding as someone who is without hope. Lord, would you forgive me and change my heart? And can we all pray, Lord, may we crave the pure spiritual milk. Remember that thought you had when you felt like this pandemic was going to go for a while, that you were going to work from home for a while, and you said, I have all this time now. Maybe I will exercise. Maybe I will pick up a hobby. Maybe I will clean up this house. And then we all got lazy. But I think it's really important that as we come out of this pandemic someday, we can say, through the pandemic, I was able to draw closer to the Lord. Through the pandemic, I was able to grow in the Lord. I became more mature. I became more genuine. I became more loving. I became more hopeful because I spent time with God and I craved spiritual milk. And so let's take a moment to pray, guys. If we need to repent, repent. If we need to proclaim our desire and our need for pure spiritual milk, let's do that as well and draw near to God, because as we draw near to Him, our Father will draw near to us.